This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column. He is based in London, and we attend ourselves to American politics, and then we'll go to the politics of the moment in Parliament. American politics, however, turn on the ambition of the new Biden administration, trillions and trillions of dollars. In two separate programs, the president and the vice president on the road to appeal to the American people to endorse trillions and trillions of dollars. Mr. Sternberg has posted a column I highly recommend, seeing these trillions and trillions as not only generous, perhaps over-generous, at the same time, however, cementing into place the culture wars we all experience routinely now, between the red and the blue, the globalist and the nationalist, the urban and the rural. Joe, a very good evening to you in Britain. You see America from the point of view of Mother Country, once upon a time, Mother Europe, looking across the Atlantic. How do trillions and trillions make our lives much more difficult, given our partisan enmity at the moment? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I thought it was really interesting and important to look at the Biden family and infrastructure's plans through the perspective of what we know from long experience in Europe about how social welfare on that scale and government spending on that scale changes a country's or a society's politics, often not for the better. And I think that the key thing to understand is that, you know, what the Biden administration wants to change is how far up into the middle class various social spending will reach. And that is actually the thing that makes us much more like Europe. A lot of the things he's talking about, like the home health care assistance or the child care programs that he's talking about, that really brings benefits up into the middle class in a way that we historically haven't had in America, where we tended to focus on people who needed benefits in terms of welfare assistance or the food stamps program or any of that sort of thing. And it kind of changes the politics, because then you get into this argument of, if you are eligible for benefits just because you're a citizen of the place and not because you're needy in some way, then your politics has to be about, well, who is enough of a citizen? And so I think people need to understand that if you look at Europe, and you have seen over the past 15 or 20 years this rising hostility to immigration, this tendency toward more inward-looking politics, I think that is actually a function of the fact that the thing that they are often arguing about here is who should be eligible for all of these middle-class benefits. And the answer in Europe often is British people or German people or French people, whoever, you know, have been my neighbors for a long time. And I think that, you know, that's very different from the way America's melting pot has always worked. And I think we should be kind of nervous about whether we're going to bring this sort of European style of politics into the U.S.
There's an illustration in your column, Joe, that might help me understand the concern here. What does it mean to teach a child Danish values? What is a Danish value? Is that like a good cookie? What is it?
Well, exactly. See, this is one of the really interesting and important examples I thought it was worth highlighting, because, you know, we always talk about the Scandinavian countries as these really, you know, role models of successful welfare states. In some senses, maybe they are, but that comes with this great demand for a lot of cultural homogeneity. You know, people want to feel like the benefits are going to people like them. And so in Denmark, this has meant that as you have had a rising population of immigrants, especially Muslim immigrants and refugees from the Middle East, as they have started receiving more of the social benefits that the Danish government makes available, there has been growing political pressure for ever more intrusive actions to try to, for lack of a better term, Danishize these migrants. So, for example, they've introduced provisions where if you live in certain majority-minority neighborhoods, parents might have to surrender their children to daycare for a certain number of hours each week so that you can make sure that the children are learning the Danish language and assimilating to Danish values. And it sounds very draconian, but it ends up, in a weird kind of way, being politically the sort of thing that you have to do if you're going to explain to, you know, longtime Danish residents and taxpayers why they are funding, you know, these kinds of very expansive benefits.
We are a melting pot. That's the metaphor that was used 100 years ago. Today, we're made up of people coming from all of the continents together. So how would it work, Joe, that you can define yourself as worthy of benefits from a generous government? Would we take a test? Would we have a common language? Or would we do the other thing? No tests, no common language, your passport or your birth certificate, not even that. What filter would we use to say who receives childcare no matter your income?
Well, see, I think that this, again, is something that people need to understand what a radical transformation for America this kind of politics is going to end up being. And I mean, it's not going to happen right away, but it will happen very gradually, in the same way that in Europe you have tended to have some of these more right-wing anti-immigrant groups have sort of taken over the social welfare mantle from the left of center parties that originally passed these things, you know, these welfare provisions. But, you know, I think that over time, the experience in Europe has been that there does become much more of a focus on cultural assimilation. So, for example, I think that European welfare states, I mean, the benefits are very generous. But, you know, in Germany, for example, for a long time, there's been the system where you have to, you know, if you have children, you have to give them a name off of an approved list that is, you know, viewed as sufficiently German. Or if you take the citizenship test in the UK, it tends to be much more cultural, whereas the American version of that just focuses on kind of constitutional issues and governance so that people can be good citizens of the U.S. And I think that Americans need to understand that, you know, imposing a European-style welfare state, you know, the political change might not be immediate, as controversial as that will be. But over time, I think that we should worry about whether it is going to end up leading to changes in this kind of notion of America as a melting pot that I think has always been really one of the keys to American success.
I did not know to worry about this until I read your column. You see, I thought the whole argument about Biden's trillions and trillions was that he was choosing particular groups to lavish attention upon, and that other groups would be left out or would immediately march towards the Supreme Court and say this is disallowed. But what you're saying is that we'll all change because of this generosity or whatever it is. It's our money, so he's not actually giving us anything we don't already possess. He's just insisting that it comes from Uncle Sam and not from our own work. And you're saying that we will change over generations. So that what would America look like 100 years from now, Joe? What would, if this trillions and trillions goes through, how will it change our understanding of being a U.S. citizen?
Well, I'm not going to entirely venture a guess on that, but I think that we have to be really very careful about that. I mean, for example, you know, take some of the hot button issues today. You think immigration is a difficult, divisive issue now? Wait until immigration isn't just about whether people should be able to come to America to work, but whether they are going to come and immediately be entitled to all of these benefits for life, even as they move into the middle class. You know, I think that that kind of will give that sort of debate a very different tenor. I think that you think that some of the debates that we've had about healthcare policy are, you know, difficult now. Wait until you're talking about sort of who does and doesn't deserve to be eligible for some form of cradle to grave healthcare benefit, even, you know, for the middle class. I think that that kind of thing becomes very divisive. And that is the key point. I mean, as soon as you have the government spending this kind of money, the sort of argument you inevitably have is which groups deserve it and which groups don't deserve it. And that is a, you know, naturally a very divisive kind of argument. And I think that you have to be particularly wary about introducing that into a society that is as diverse as America's, where really our challenge as a country has always been to find the things that would unite us. And now all of a sudden you're introducing all of these government programs that have the potential to be very divisive.
Joseph Sternberg, He writes political economics. He's based in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's a member. When we come back, we're going to turn to UK politics. There have been revelations recently that populism finds it acceptable for you to be a tassel-headed Etonian and still lead a popular persuasion. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.